Come on, aren't you grateful he was worthy? Man, so grateful. And what an awesome morning it's already been, just a celebration of Jesus and a celebration of life. Just want to just take a moment and really welcome you. We're so honored and grateful that you would take time out of your Easter weekend to be here this morning with us and to worship and to experience and encounter God. You know, we're going to celebrate this morning. We're going to have some fun this morning. How many know it's okay to have fun in church? Church, it should be funner than hell. That's what I think. So we're going to laugh. We're going to have some fun. But everything we do this morning is all about exalting the risen Jesus. Everything that we do, all the hope that we have, all the life that we have, the forgiveness we have, the future that we have is all because of Jesus. And, you know, we were talking to our kids this weekend about what Easter is about. When we say Easter, I mean, we're talking about the resurrection. And we were talking to them about what it's about. We have a 3-year-old girl, a 7-year-old girl, and a 10-year-old boy. And our 3-year-old girl, we said, Ava, what does Easter about to you? And she said, well, it's the time where, and she had seen this coloring page that she had done in children's church. And by the way, thank God for people that are willing to give their Easter Sunday morning to serve in our children's church, right? Amen. Come on. If you see them, would you just give them a big holy high five, you know, and just tell them thank you? And so she had drawn this coloring page where it had the Roman centurions on it with the big hats, you know? The big, you know, can you just picture it with me, you know, the big Roman centurion hats that they have on there on the kids' coloring page? And we said, Ava, what does Easter mean to you? And she said, it's the time where the chefs hammered Jesus to the cross. And we said, chefs? And she goes, yeah, the guys with the big hats. So it's the time where the chefs hammered Jesus to the cross. But you know what? I'm so grateful that Jesus was nailed to the cross, but I'm also really grateful that the story didn't stop there. And you know, the grace of God, the cross, paid the price for our sin, and it could have stopped there, you know. And sometimes as Christians, we kind of get focused more on that side of the story. And it's, hear me this morning, that side of the story is really, 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 really significant and important, right? Come on, it's something that every one of us needed, is the forgiveness, the payment for the sins that separate us from God. But I'm on a mission to begin to put more of my focus, to become more fascinated with the risen life of Jesus than I am with the previous struggle that I had with sin. And I just think maybe if we begin to just kind of live differently and think differently, what is it possible? What would it be like if we put the same kind of focus on God every Sunday as we did on Easter Sunday? What would it be like? What could be possible for you and for me as Christians if we had the same kind of appreciation and focus on God and on Jesus and on what he did for you and me every day of our life as we do on Easter Sunday? You know, I was texting one of the worship guys and I was saying, hey, this is a good song, and it was just this week, so I was saying, not for this week, we won't pull it off this week, but this is a good song. It has a good, strong resurrection lyric to it. It's a good Easter Sunday song. And then I caught myself and I said, hey, if it's a good Easter Sunday song about the resurrection of Jesus, that's just called a good Christian song. That ought to just be like the song we sing every Sunday, right? And it should be the life that we live every Sunday. How about every Sunday and Wednesday? How about every day? What do we just say every day? That the resurrection power of Jesus is available to us every day. I'm grateful that there's the historical occurrence of the resurrection, but what we celebrate today is a lifestyle that Jesus made possible. He said this, he said in John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And then, you know, there's some things that we kind of, we think maybe you're in the Bible, you know, that like a penny saved is a penny earned. Like there's some biblical principles there, but that's not exactly word for word in the Bible, right? And there's one of these that says God works in mysterious ways. And you know, it's true. It's not exactly in the Bible like that word for word, but let me show you somewhere where actually it does reference a mystery in Colossians 1:27. And keep in mind, we just established that Jesus wasn't just resurrected. He is the resurrection, right? Colossians 1:27 says this, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles, come on, that's you and me, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ. Remember, he's the resurrection. He's not just resurrected, he is a resurrection. The mystery is this, Christ in you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. Listen, if you came to church this morning and that makes you uncomfortable to talk to someone, I'm going to apologize in advance. You need to just get to know that person. I might have you talk to them two or three times more this morning, okay? The mystery is Christ in you. And Ephesians 1:19 and 20 says, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. It's the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Come on, let's just stay with what we were doing right there. Look at your other neighbor, the one that was your second choice, and just say, it's the same power. 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 But Paul wrote something right there, and here's why I want to pause and I want to pray and ask God that he'll really open up our hearts to receive what he's put on my heart to share with you today. And Paul said, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. Easter Sunday morning is an opportunity for us. This service, this moment, this time today, you and me gathered in this place this morning is an opportunity for us to just take a moment. And I'm asking God for us to just get a little bit deeper, a little bit greater, a little bit more of an understanding about just what's possible for you and for me because of what Jesus did. Because he died and because he rose again. I pray that you would have an understanding of this mystery, of this power, of this life that's available because of Jesus. So would you just bow your hearts and bow your heads there and just let's ask God to show us. Come on, if you came to church this morning, I trust it's because you're looking for, in some way, shape, or form, more of an understanding of who Jesus is and what he did for you and what he made possible for you and for me. So Lord, we're just so grateful, we're thankful. And we're here in this place, gathered in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're here in this place with open hearts to receive from you. And God, I just lift up every precious person that's here in this room. And Lord, I thank you for anyone who's facing a difficulty, God, anyone who's up against a challenge, anyone who maybe today has felt far from you or distant from you. I thank you that the cross of Jesus Christ made a way to bridge the gap between God and man, made a way for us to be drawn close to you once again, made a way for us to be forgiven of our sin, made a way for our past and our guilt and our shame to be washed away and covered by the precious blood of the Lamb, precious blood of Jesus. And so, Lord, we thank you for healing us, strengthening us, encouraging us, and equipping us today with a greater understanding of who Jesus is, with a greater understanding of the risen life that we have available to us because you came alive, you rose again, and you live forevermore. And all of God's precious and handsome people said, amen. Listen, I want to talk to you this morning about the testimony of Easter. The testimony of Easter. Let me tell you, one of the things I appreciate the most about our God is that the process, even the plan that he put into motion from the foundation of time, the plan for redeeming us, the plan for forgiving us, the plan for saving us, the plan for drawing our hearts back to him. By design, that plan involved a dramatic story that we can now draw hope from. Listen, God could have done it any way that he saw fit, but he chose to use a story, and in that story, there were 3 days. There were 3 days. There was a Friday, and there was a Saturday, and there was a Sunday. And I know there's more to the story than that, but for the sake of time this morning, we're focusing on the 3 days. There was a Friday. There was the cross. There was a Saturday in which there was the tomb. And there was the Sunday in which there was the resurrection, the miracle of God. And so Friday, there was the cross of Jesus Christ. And listen, the pathway to our redemption involved a painful process for Jesus. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Sometimes we're going to go through some painful things in life. Look at what 1 Peter chapter 2 said in verse 24 and 25. And it says, this is the kind of life that you've been invited into. This is the kind of life that Christ lived. He suffered everything that came his way so that he didn't just do, it wasn't meaningless. There was purpose in the pain so that you would know that this could be done and also know how to do it step by step. Listen, one of the things, I appreciate about the process of God redeeming us back is that it involved a painful process. There was something that Jesus had to endure, to go through, to bring us back to him. Isaiah 53 and 4 through 6 says that he took up our pain. He bore our suffering. We considered him punished by God, stricken by God, afflicted by God. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. He did it all because we, like sheep, had gone astray, each of us turning to our own way. But the Lord laid the iniquity of us upon him. Come on, that's the good news. There was a process of pain that Jesus endured to bring us back to our Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus is approaching the day that he knew he was to be crucified, and he grabs a couple of the disciples with him, and they go to Gethsemane, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus says this, I'm just reminding you of some things this morning, because in the midst of today that we celebrate the risen Savior, it's important to remember the pain and the process that Jesus endured. And there's something that we can learn from this. There's some things that we can draw from this. There's some hope that can be found in this. And I'm encouraging you this morning, again, that God could have done it any way that he wanted to, but he chose to walk it out in this way. And he took a couple of the disciples with him, and he told them this right to their face. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow, even to the point of death." And he asked them, "Stay here with me, tarry with me, pray for me." And he went a little further, it says, and he fell to with his face to the ground, and he said, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." Jesus even experienced, in the midst of the pain that he was about to endure. Sometimes we can gloss over this part of the story. There was so much pain. The weight of our sin was so heavily, and it was so heavy, and it was beginning to mount upon his shoulders. He actually cried out to God and said, "God, if there's another way, if there's another way." But then I'm so grateful that that's not where he stopped. He continued to pray, and he said, "But God, not my will, but your will be done." Listen, Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." I'm bringing you good news this morning. I'm bringing you an encouragement this morning. I'm bringing you some hope this morning. Jesus endured and went through some pain to get to the promise. And I'm encouraging you this morning that in life we're going to, Jesus didn't promise it to be any other way. There's going to be some painful things and some painful moments that we endure to get to the promises of God. Jesus walked it out. Jesus isn't asking us to walk through something or endure something that he wasn't willing to come right in and take and step right into our shoes and walk out himself. Come on, how many of you know? Let me just ask it this way. If you have not endured pain or trouble in life, let me see your hand. Come on, let's just see. Yeah, that's 100% of people. That's very similar to the death rate. Everyone, you know, that's all of us. We all experience. There's some things we're all going to go through. And listen, this is a heavy subject matter. It can be. But it got me thinking about the fact that sometimes in life, some things that we expect to go a certain way don't turn out exactly like we expected them to, right? And so I actually want to take a moment and show you some things that made me laugh a little bit, all right? That made me laugh. These are some things that people saw online on Pinterest and thought that they could do. It didn't turn out the way that they thought it was going to turn out, all right? So can we show you guys this? Come on, it's okay to laugh a little bit in church. Yeah. Okay, we're already 2-2. I thought I was gonna be seeing them back there. I gotta look right here. All right, so that's like a Easter bread dip thing. Like, yeah, isn't it cute? Yeah. Can you guys see that? Am I in your way? All right, it's Easter morning. Let's make pancakes. Let's make those bunny pancakes we saw on Pinterest, baby. Oh, look, they are little Easter bunny-shaped cream puffs. Come Come on, sometimes it's not going to turn out the way you thought it would, right? Oh, look, he's the spotless lamb. Let's make this beautiful cake that we saw on Pinterest. Here's what it looks like when you... Come on, that's real life right there. That's real life. Oh, let's make an Easter basket out of yarn like we saw online. Come on, someone just gave up right there. Someone was just a quitter, you know. That someone got frustrated, just kind of threw their hands in the air on that one. That's rough. That is rough. All right, who likes Peeps? Anyone like Peeps? Can you tell what that is? It's a picture's a little grainy, but that's Peeps at a pool. Can you see that? That's a cake, and that's Peeps at a pool. That's terrible. The Peeps are drowning. At least get the Peeps out of the pool, you know. Now, here, I don't understand why we put our kids through some of the things we put them through, you know. Go and try to get these precious little kids to sit on the lap of this. Look at that kid. He's calling. Look, somehow, I don't know how, but somehow that, well, first of all, that looks like a dog. That's the Easter dog. And somehow the expression on the Easter bunny's face just looks like, kind of like he's just given up. And that one is just, I mean, that's just weird. That's just wrong. That's wrong in so many ways. Now here, I want to pause right here for a second. This is, just so you know that these things happen in real life. This is a picture that I took. And that, the boy in the blue shirt right there is our 10-year-old son, Aaron, about 3 years ago when he was seven, when he got invited to a birthday party that was during the Easter weekend, and they had an Easter bunny that came to it. And there, so just, this is one of those caption this pictures. There's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on here. You know, I mean, this looks like, if they were a baseball team, they would be the Bad News Bears, right? But look at the Easter bunny. It's psychotic Easter bunny right there. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? And so I just got to tell you, no kids were harmed in the taking of this picture. But that's real life. I mean, that's my boy. I was like, oh my goodness. All right, moving on. Yeah, I just don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. That's when you buy the discount Easter Bunny costume online, you know, on Amazon. And by the way, if any of these are your kids or grandkids, I just apologize, all right? I'm sorry. Now look, isn't that cute? Now, honey, let's try to take a picture like we saw on Pinterest. Yeah. That's how it generally turns out. And I think this is there one more? Is there one more? Yeah, one more. All right, there's this another one of those. Jesus is the spotless lamb. Let's make the lamb coconut cake that we saw online. Yeah. There we go. All right, so is it okay to laugh in church a little bit, even on Easter Sunday? Are you all right with that? Things are sometimes not going to turn out like you expect them to. Sometimes things in life are not going to go the way that you expect them to. And here's my encouragement to you this morning. Jesus endured some pain. The process that God set into motion to save us, to forgive us, and to bring us back to him involved some pain. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. When you find yourself in that moment, the painful moments in life, you need to understand and be encouraged by the fact that the Jesus we know and the Jesus we serve knows exactly what it feels like and then some. Oftentimes, when we're going through those moments in some way, shape, or form, there's some level that we're responsible for. Jesus was responsible for none of it. Everything he was feeling was all what was deserved by you and by me. Jesus went through some painful moments. But I'm so grateful that the story doesn't end there. He could have drawn it up even for him to even come back to life right there, like die and just resurrect, but he didn't. Because you see, God was writing this testimony of Jesus. And in almost every testimony in our lives, in almost every testimony in your life, there's going to be a process. There's going to be a journey. There's going to be a walking out of some things. There's going to be a testing of our faith. Listen, there was a Saturday in the story. There was a Saturday in the story, and it involved a tomb. It involved a tomb. Listen, God's writing a testimony. God's setting up the testimony of Jesus here. And let me encourage you with something this morning. He's writing a testimony in your life. He's writing a story in your life. And those of you that are part of this church family, you hear me say it often. I encourage you often, don't get stuck in a painful chapter of your life. Keep moving. Keep pressing on. Allow God to turn the page. Don't get stuck. Don't get caught. God's the way things look right now, who you are and what you're up against and where you are in life is not the way God necessarily wants it to look like tomorrow. Don't allow the enemy to take a Polaroid snapshot and just say, here's what life is going to be like of you. And the Polaroid is the painful moment, the rejection, the loss, the fear, the hopelessness. God is writing a story in your life. And the Word of God says that what he's begun in your life, he's going to be faithful to bring it to completion. But even in Jesus' story, he's writing a testimony. And there's a Saturday in the testimony. There's a tomb in the testimony. There's a quiet place. There's a dark place. There's a place of isolation. There's a place of delay. There's a place of waiting. There's a process where your faith is going to be tested. And listen, when you find yourself in the Saturdays of life, let me just encourage you with something. The delay of God is not the denial of God. Because don't you know that some people, they watched what was happening on Friday and they were watching and expecting Jesus. Some of them even, it's even documented in the scriptures for us. They were saying, if you're the Son of Man, if you're the Son of God, save yourself, bring yourself down from that cross. And Jesus breathed his last, it says, and I'm sure that some people walked away thinking, well, he wasn't who he said he was. And then comes Saturday. Saturday's the day when the crowds are no longer gathering around you. Saturday's the day where you find yourself maybe alone, isolated, waiting, believing that God spoke something into your life, believing that God wants to do something in your life, but finding yourself in the middle, in the process, on the journey. Listen, when you find yourself in these places, the Saturdays of life, the delay, the divine delays, that you need to understand something. God was working while Jesus was in the tomb. God's working in the process. Can I encourage you with something this morning? Sometimes the process that God has you on and going through is more important to him than the end result. Sometimes the process that he has you and me going through and what he's doing, and he's more concerned about our eternal character than he is about our temporal comfort. He's doing something deeper in your life than what you can see just on the outside. He's preparing you for an eternity. He's got something bigger than maybe what you've even thought God was going to do. When you find yourself in those moments, don't forget that Jesus went through it. Listen, some of you are closer than you think. Come on, look at your neighbor, touch your neighbor and say, you're closer than you think. 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 Listen, hear this morning. This is so true. Sometimes when it's close up to you, it's harder to see. Sometimes when it's close up to you, it's harder to see, right? It's right here. It's hard to see. It's right here. It's hard to see. It's right here. It's hard to see. Some of you are closer to some things that God's doing in your heart. Some of you are closer to some of the things that God's doing in your life. Some of you are closer to some of the things God's doing in your children. Some of you are closer to some of the things God's doing in your health. Some of you are closer to some of the things God's doing in your marriage or your family than you even believe. When it's right up on you, sometimes it's hard to see, but you need to just trust that what God began, he's going to bring to finish. He's going to bring it to completion. He's going to bring it to completion. Listen, Sunday's coming. Come on, once again, look at your neighbor and say, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. Listen, when we trust God through the pain and through the process and in the midst of the process, we are prepared for the promise. We are prepared for the promise. We are ready to receive and walk in and live in the miracle. Some of you, you're going through some stuff because what God's going to do in your life is bigger and greater, and you're not ready for it yet. You're not ready for it yet. God's still shaping you. He's refining you. He's building stuff into you because he's got some things for you. When we trust God through the pain, when we're able to find the strength by the Spirit of God to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. When we're able to walk through those things and those times and say, God, I know you're good, and I know you... I might not feel your presence strongly right now. I might feel like I'm alone. I might feel like I'm isolated, but I know what your word says is true. You're good. And you're working in the midst of the process. Come on, Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. God redeems. God has a way of redeeming the pain of our life for his promises and for his glory, if we'll just stay focused on him, worshiping him, seeking him, pressing into him. Romans 8:28 says this, we know that God causes everything, come on, say everything, to work together for the good of those who, two things, who love God and who are called according to his purpose for them. Come on, when you're going through the process, when you're on the journey, when you're on that adventure, and you don't know when it's going to come to pass, keep worshiping God and stay connected to the purposes of God. Everything will work together for those who do those two things. We keep seeking, we keep serving, we keep worshiping. Right through the pain, right through the process, God's preparing you for the promise. He's preparing you for the miracle. And so here we are on the Sunday of life, and this is the victory. Come on, this is the risen life. But let me show you something this morning. Even in the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ, I want to show you something. This set me free. This unlocks some things about the God that we know and the God that we serve. And remember where we're going this morning. There's some things we can learn. This is the testimony of Easter. There's some things that we can draw hope from and encouragement from. God's writing a testimony in your life too. And most of our testimonies are going to have the same three aspects to them. They're going to have the death, the challenge, the pain. They're going to have the process, the journey, the adventure. And they're going to result in the promise or the miracle of God. But even in his glorious resurrection, look at John chapter 20. If you've got your Bible with you this morning and you're just itching to just turn it there somewhere, you got your smartphone, your iPhone, your Android, whatever, just go over to John chapter 20. We're going to read a few scriptures from John chapter 20 about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hear some pages turning. That's old school. John chapter, I love it. I love it. I love it, by the way. John chapter 20. Verse 1-3. And if you don't have your Bible, you can read it behind the screen right here. And I'm going to try to read it from the screen back here on the back. And it says this in verse 1. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark. Listen, come on. You could almost pause on every verse in this chapter and just preach a whole message on it. It was still dark. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple. How many of you sometimes feel like you're the other disciple, like the other guy, you know? And who's the other guy, you know? Like, can't we put his name in there, you know? The one whom Jesus loved. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Listen, don't you think that after they saw everything that Jesus had done, including the raising of Lazarus, and they knew the prophetic promises, and they'd heard him speaking, even if it was prophetically, about the fact he was going to raise again after 3 days, don't you think that when they went to the tomb on Sunday morning, that their first reaction wouldn't have been, hey, someone's taken him? It would have been, Jesus is alive, right? But come on, sometimes the people around you aren't going to believe in the call of God on your life. Sometimes there are going to be people around you that are doubting that God's hand is really upon your life, or that he's really doing what you say he's doing, or that he really is who he says he is. And so moving on, Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. Next slide. So now we fast forward a little bit right here. That Sunday, they started out for the tomb. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was there. Wait a minute. I thought I had another scripture in there. Come on, God. Just feel free to say, come on, preacher. Get it together. Huh? Okay, here we go. Back up to verse 3. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. I got to read it from my notes. Verse 4 says this, both were running, but the other disciple again, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. See, the reason I knew that I had another scripture is because I was going to make a funny preacher joke right there. It's just another way that I can relate to Peter, you know, like he got outran by the other guy. You know, the other guy was faster than Peter. Now it's not so funny. Gosh, moving on. On to spiritual things. So now fast forward, John chapter 20, down on verse 19 and 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So Jesus shows up and these folks are locked up. They're fearful. They're concerned for their lives. And Jesus shows up and he says, peace be with you, which is really just like biblical spiritual language for him just saying, chill out. It's me. It's Jesus. Okay. But it says this. It says he showed them his hands and his side. And it was at that moment that it says the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Jesus showed them the scars on his hands and on his side. And further down in the same chapter, we read about doubting Thomas, who was also, by the way, known as Didymus. You see that on there? And as one whose name is Thomas, I would greatly have preferred if they would have called him Doubting Didymus instead of Doubting Thomas. And it's even in a nice little alliteration, you know, like it's more memorable that way too, right? Doubting Didymus. But we read the account of Doubting Thomas, one of the 12, who was not in this first encounter, but now he's there. And the other disciples have told him, we've seen the risen Jesus. We've seen him alive. We've seen him in the flesh. And Thomas says, I got to see it. I got to touch him. I got to know that he's real, that he's really who he says that he is. And a week later, it says the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was now with them. And the doors were still locked. People, despite the fact that they've seen all these miracles, the doors are still locked in fear. But Jesus, once again, come on, he's so good. He's so good. He comes and he says, he stood among them and he said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put them into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. You know what's amazing? This is just amazing to me. This is amazing to me. Some of you, it's going to be maybe just a reminder. Some of you could teach me about it. But for some of us, this is going to be a significant revelation. The resurrected Jesus Christ had scars on his hands and side. He came back from the dead, and he had scars. Come on, how many of you would have been maybe bummed out about that? Right? Like, really, God, you're going to bring me back from the dead? You're going to leave me with these? Couldn't you include a beauty treatment in that, you know, or something on the way back? He came back from the dead, and yet he still has scars. Listen, even in his glorious, miraculous resurrection, hear me this morning. The God of heaven was still looking to be relatable to you and to me. He was still looking to relate to the process of, to the pain and the process that you, he knew you and I would be going through, that would result if we'd stay faithful to just keep serving God and seeking God and following God, that would connect us to his promises, to his miracle. Even in his glorious resurrection, Jesus had scars. And so listen, I want to talk to you about scars for a moment. We don't like scars. We think differently about it. We don't appreciate scars. We see scars as we try to cover them up. We try to conceal them. We have procedures to hide them. We buy makeup to cover them up. But Jesus was not afraid of his scars. He was unashamed of them. In both of those chapters, he was just saying, see my scars? See my scars? Look at my hands. It is who I am, who I say that I am. And I want to encourage you with something this morning. Wounds are different than scars. We can't afford to remain wounded. I can't afford to be a wounded pastor. I won't lead you well. I care too much about what you think, or I care too much about whatever. I can't afford to be a wounded husband. I won't lead my wife, and I won't love her, and I won't serve her well, and it'll cause me to be defensive and angry. I can't afford to be a wounded dad. I've got to allow God to heal some things. You can't afford to remain wounded, but you got to begin to see scars differently. Scars are the places where the enemy tried to take you out and God healed you. Scars are the place where you can point to and say, the enemy tried to take me out, and God had a better plan. I'm still standing. I'm still kicking. I'm still moving. I'm still serving. I'm still loving. I'm still giving. I'm still going. Scars are different than wounds. I want to ask our worship team to come up this morning and prepare to lead us in one final song. And we got something really special planned for you this morning. Listen, is it possible that more people in the world today would be interested in the Jesus we preached if we preached the Jesus with scars? Is it possible that they would be they would feel more compelled to see what this is about and to experience the life that you and I have experienced if we were more transparent and open with our scars instead of trying to hide it all, instead of trying to conceal it all, instead of trying to just put our church mask on and just go and be good Sunday church people. Jesus wasn't ashamed of his scars. Is it possible that more people, if we were just real and just said, you know what, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't mean I'm perfect. In fact, it means I've been through some stuff. I've been through some stuff. The enemy tried to take me out. I've been through this in my marriage. I've been through this in my finances. I've been through this in my family. I've been hopeless. I've been depressed. I've been whatever it is where you've been in your life. And we were willing, instead of just trying to put on this perfect facade, we were willing to say, but God came. And where I was this, now I'm this. Where I once was lost, now I'm found. Where I once was broken, now I'm whole. Where I once was sick in my mind, my body, my spirit, my emotions, my relationships, I'm now healed and I'm whole. Not because I'm anything, but only because of the grace of God that I've discovered and I'm experiencing and the resurrection power of God that I've encountered and I'm living out every day only because of Jesus. Only because of Jesus. Come on, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the what? Word of our testimony. Come on, it's one thing to preach it, and it's what I'm preaching. Come on, it's what I'm preaching to us, not just today, but every Sunday that we gather together as a church family. I'm preaching Jesus crucified and resurrected. I'm preaching Jesus, everything that we do, everything God's put in our heart to do, all the people, all the precious people in Lawrence and the surrounding areas that God's put in our heart to reach and to rescue so that they can connect to a life of reigning in Christ and so that they can begin to connect to a life of purpose and bringing restoration to our community. That's part of the vision for our church. All of that, all of those things, all the stuff, all the programs, it's all about Jesus crucified, buried in the tomb. But aren't you glad that the story didn't stop there? On Sunday, he rose again. On Sunday, he rose again. Listen, it's one thing to preach it. It's what I'm preaching. But it's another thing to see lives changed, lives touched by the power of the resurrection. I want to ask you to stand to your feet and worship in this song. And I want to encourage you, make sure where you're standing that you kind of do a little shimmy or something right there so you can kind of get an angle where you can see what's about to take place right here in this spot where I'm standing and I'm about to move this pulpit. Because there's some people who are going to come out this morning and they're going to share what God has done in their life. It's one thing to preach it. It's another thing to see the power of Jesus, the resurrection power of God, and what it's done in people's lives. Come on, enjoy this moment. Man, isn't it powerful what God can do in a life? Isn't it powerful what Jesus can do in a life? Aren't you glad that God wasn't finished with their story on the front side of that card? Aren't you glad that God, we serve a God who came and he understands what it means to go through a pain and through a process to connect to a promise? And here's what I want to do this morning. We're going to sing this song just one more time. We're going to dismiss just here in the next few minutes, but this is the most important moment in some people's lives. The opportunity to step forward and to come to God and begin to allow him to write the flip side of your card. And so I want you to, right here, right now, if you are more acquainted with the pain, if you're more acquainted, if you're finding yourself right now in the middle of the front part of your card, the pain, the trauma, the isolation, the difficulty, the problem with your health, your finances, your marriage, whatever it is for you this morning, I don't know what it is, but God knows. If that's you this morning, if you'd say, I don't know what God's going to write on the back side of my card, but I definitely know what's on the front side of my card because I'm right up in the middle of it right now and it's staring me down. It's all around me. I want to encourage you to do this just to give you the opportunity to respond. Just step out from your seat. Come on, people will make room for you to respond in this important way. If you want God to begin to write the backside of your card, the promise, the testimony, the breakthrough, right now where you are this morning, just step out from your seat and begin to make your way to the front. Just respond to God. Respond to God. Step out. If there's anything in your life, anything in your life that you need to see God begin to reverse. You need to see God move and show up to heal, to restore, to bring life, to bring freedom, to bring breakthrough. Just begin to make your way to the front. Respond to your Heavenly Father. Come on. Just press in here. 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 You're not responding to me. You're responding to Jesus. Just press in here. Come on, ladies, precious ladies. Just make your way up here to the front. You're not responding to me. You're responding to Jesus. You're not responding to me. You're responding to Jesus. Now, if there's anyone here this morning and you're far from God and you know it, and right now your heart is just it's burning. Your heart, maybe it's even beating a little fast, and you know that God is calling you home to be his son or to be his daughter. I want to ask you to take a step of faith. Come on, Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. And all I'm asking you to do this morning is just take the first step of faith, to just step forward and say, God, I want to become part of your family. God, I'm putting my trust in Jesus to cover my sins and cover my past and cover my pain. If that's you this morning, just begin to step out and make your way to the front. Come on, anyone who wants to give their heart to Jesus this morning, or perhaps rededicate your life to Jesus, if that's you this morning, just begin to just, I could just ask you to just put your hand in the air, and probably more people would do that, but I believe that there's something to taking a step. There's something to stepping out and responding to God. So the team's going to lead us in the last part of this song. And if wherever you are as we sing this, if you're realizing that this is for you and you need to step forward, would you just make your way to the front this morning to respond to the love of your Heavenly Father? Come on, team. Just begin to declare this morning.
I just want to invite the prayer team, ministry team, to come up front. If you need prayer for anything at all today, whether it's a family member, whether it's something in your own heart or life, or healing today, we want to encourage you, don't leave without coming up, getting someone to stand with you in prayer. And if today, even if you didn't walk up front, if today was the day that you realized you gave your heart to Jesus, maybe you felt crowded, maybe you felt like you couldn't make it all the way up here, but we want to encourage you. We want to pray with you. We want to put a gift in your hand. It's got a Bible, some worship music. It's got everything, a bunch of resources for you to get started in your life with Jesus. Or if you rededicated your life today and you realize this is the day that I'm going to let Jesus write the back of my card. I'm done trying to do it on my own. We want to pray with you right over here by the drum cage. There's some people here just to encourage you real briefly. It's going to take like 2 minutes, give you a gift, and get you started on this journey God's got for you in life. And we just thank you so much for coming. God's amazing. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And we want to invite you to come back next Sunday and spend another Sunday with us, just to see what else God has for you, because this is not the end. It's just the beginning. And he's an amazing God with limitless love available. So, again, come up front if you need prayer. But bless you. Have an awesome rest of your Easter Sunday. God bless you.